Today on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss last week's presidential by-election in Zambia, which observers say was too close to call but credible. Electoral Commission of Zambia declared Edgar Lungu as the winner. But the main opposition leader, Hakainde Hichilema, describes the poll as a sham. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa. It's Wednesday, January 28th. I am Shaka Sali.
Well, hello, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll reflect and analyze the recent Zambian presidential election and examine the ruling party's narrow win as the opposition cries foul.
Well, lots to talk about today. Coming up later in our STA inbox, our audience have weighed in on our topic through emails and Facebook and also Twitter comments. We can't wait to reveal some of them ahead on Straight Talk Africa.
But first, Zambia's ruling party candidate Edgar Lungu secured a narrow victory in last week's presidential poll. But the opposition claims the election was stolen. Independent observers say the ballot was conducted in a fair manner. My colleague, Paul Ndiho, has more on this story.
Patriotic Front Sir Edgar Lungu was sworn in as Zambia's new president Sunday. He garnered 48% of the vote against his closest rival, Hakainde Hichilema, of the United Party for National Development, who received nearly 47% of the vote. Speaking after being sworn in at a colorful ceremony at the National Heroes Stadium, Lungu says that his government policies will remain consistent and predictable.
Our country will continue to maintain and even improve in a conducive environment for investors, both local and external. Our policies will be underpinned by consistency and predictability. Recently, we have restructured the revenue system for the mining industry, from a corporate profit-based tax to a new royalty one, which is simple and a final tax.
The election was called after former President Michael Sata died suddenly last October. Another election is scheduled for later next year, when Sata's term had been due to end. Lungu will have little time to turn around a spurting economy in one of Africa's most promising frontier markets. The United Nations has called for post-election unity. Turnout for the election was just 32% as heavy rains disrupted voting across much of the country. Observers say the ballot was conducted in a fair manner. In recent years, Zambia has enjoyed political stability and has annual income economic growth rates of 7%. The World Bank now classifies it as a lower middle income nation rather than low income, meaning its growth national income per person has risen above $1,000. But Africa's second largest copper producer, home to 14.5 million people, is still struggling with poverty and high unemployment.
I am very happy that it's new president of Zambia. I know he will do great things for us.
I really accept my presidency. Who's supposed to be in? Outside, it's already in. So I'm just congratulating Edgar Lungu to be a president.
The Patriotic Front has led Zambia since winning an election in 2011. That vote ended the 20-year rule of the Movement for Multi-Party Democracy Party. The new government is vowing to support small-scale farmers and create jobs to fight poverty, and the enactment of a new constitution as top priority. Paul Ndiho, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Now, joining us here in our Washington studios is my distinguished guest, Dr. Kenneth Mwenda, adjunct professor of law at American University's Washington College of Law, based here in the nation's capital.
I have to say, of course, that I'm always profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
My pleasure, my honor, Shaka. Thank you.
You're most welcome. And Hakainde Hichilema, presidential candidate of the main opposition party, the United Party for National Development, or UPND, he is expected to join us on the telephone from the Zambian capital, Lusaka. Well, I gather that we still have some technical problems, so I guess, for example, I ask you this question. Sure. You've been obviously monitoring and following things back in Zambia from a distance. Well, what sense are you getting? Are people happy about what happened last week?
Yeah, thank you for that, Shaka. I mean, first and foremost, I think the people of Zambia must be commended for having managed the whole process peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of expectations. There was anxiety from different quarters. But if you remember earlier on when I was on the show, I said, I think it's just a storm in the teacup.
Mm.
Zambia has never known violence. If there is any pocket or evidence of violence, it's really in isolated small cases. But generally, it's been a peaceful country. So, you know, we are thankful that the people of Zambia showed maturity in the way they handled the whole process, as well as the leaders of all political parties, the way they handled the situation.
I remember that after that show, I asked you whether you, in fact, had someone that you supported. Did you, in fact, support someone so much that if you even had an opportunity to vote, you would have voted for that particular individual?
I have remained neutral throughout the process, rather independent. You know, they are all good players, you know, the candidates that we had there. But, of course, ideologically speaking, I have reservations because they didn't come out very strongly on the certain ideological positions other than focusing more on personality mm-hmm. issues and that sort of thing, and a few policy pronouncements. But there was no strong sort of ideological standing on where, for example, a particular party sees itself taking the country forward.
Were you surprised by the results?
I wasn't. I had an interview with BBC on Monday, just before the elections, and my predictions were that it was going to be a very close call, and that's exactly how it turned out.
I see.
Yes.
I gather that we can now, in fact, be joined by Ms. Priscilla Isaac, the director of the Electoral Commission of Zambia, or ECZ, or ECZ, as we say it here. Good evening, Mrs. Isaac.
Good evening, Shaka.
I am hugely terrific. What is the mood like in Lusaka, the capital where you are?
Very quiet and peaceful.
Is that...
It's like there was nothing happening last week.
Really?
Yes, it's really quiet and peaceful. It's amazing, and it's wow.
Do you take that to mean perhaps as a sort of a sign of confidence in the manner in which you conducted the elections?
I would say so, because we've received a lot of allocates, you know, just from local people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we've never experienced before. Usually the praises would come from the international observers and our colleagues from the region and maybe from a few local monitors. But to get this outpour of public support is really amazing. I mean, we're getting people phoning through to the commission, thanking us for the good job that we have done. If you're out, maybe at the shops or something, which we're sort of like avoiding, you just get somebody approaching and say, we just like to say, you know, thank you very much. This morning I'd passed through the doctors and I had people approaching me and saying, you know, a job well done to the commission. So it's really encouraging.
What about the fact that you had a very, very low turnout this time around, Mrs. Isaac? What is the reason behind that in your view?
Well, a low turnout in any election is disappointing, but it's not a strange thing for by-elections. I mean, even when we have by-elections for National Assembly or local government, usually the turnout is below 50%. But for the presidential election, in spite of the time of the year, we held it and we thought that maybe the numbers would be a little bit higher. But then, understandably, we're in the middle of the rainy season, and most people in the rural areas will be busy in their fields. And then, unfortunately, countrywide, it rained quite heavily on poor days. So we figure that was the main factor as to the low turnout, because we really did have some heavy rain across the country.
How do you respond to some critics who are saying that you had less than 2 million votes to count, really, perhaps, in fact, about 1.7 million votes, and yet it took you several days before you announced the winner? It almost took you 5 days. How do you explain that?
Well, before the election, we did warn the public, we did warn the general public, that the determination of the final result would take a little bit longer because of the situation we found ourselves in. You know, most of the last results came in from the rural areas, where the only means of transport of getting to the polling station was by ZAF. And we had to deliver personnel and collect personnel and results from over 300 polling stations countrywide, a large number of them being in western and northwestern province, and then also some in eastern and northern province. So if you are looking at having to ferry people from over 300 polling stations of varying distances, well, it was a mammoth task. And then the challenge also, we had estimated with the Air Force that we had contracted with Zambia Air Force that would have everything in by the 19th. But the challenge we faced was the weather, which compounded, you know, the efficient collection of the presiding officers and the results. In some cases, because of the heavy rain, you'd find and the aircraft being grounded for almost a full day before it could set out to finish the mission of collecting the results. So that is the biggest challenge we faced. But that was beyond our control. And really, you know, the pilots who were assigned to this task really went out of beyond their call of duty to make up for the lost time, and for that we are really grateful.
Talk to us about concerns from the man who finished second, who in fact has come out openly to say that you stole his victory. And in fact, he says that explains why you spent several days without announcing the victor, because according to him, you were basically doing what he would characterize as creative accounting.
Well, that's a real pity, because all I can say is that it's a real pity, because it's not true. And I'm sure he knows that we worked under very difficult circumstances. We kept all the stakeholders briefed. We had a minimum of 3 briefs in the day. At each brief, we informed the stakeholders which areas the Air Force had covered and the results that were still need, which polling stations still needed to have the results collected. And as we went towards the end, they requested that they sit in on the final verification that the commission was doing. So we sat with 2 representatives each from UPND and PF, I think from Friday and through Saturday, doing the last batch of the results. So really, like we said in our briefs, he's entitled to his own opinion, but as far as we are concerned as a commission, we did our best to deliver a good election for the people of Zambia. And ultimately, in the end, it's the voter who votes, not the Electoral Commission of Zambia. It's not possible for us to be present in each of the 6,456 polling stations and control whom people are going to vote for. No, that whoever wins an election is determined by the people of Zambia. As a commission, our job is to facilitate an election, provide an opportunity for the contenders to participate, and provide a fair opportunity also for the voter.
What about the saying that whoever pays the piper calls the tune? Because Mr. Hikirema, as a matter of fact, says that you were appointed by the president, and therefore you serve at the discretion of the president. How do you react to that?
I'm not appointed by the president. My bosses are the commission. I'm not appointed by the president. My employers are the commission. They are the ones who hire and fire the director and the staff below the director. So that's completely untrue. And with regards to the chairperson and the four other members, yes, they're appointed by the president, but that's subject to ratification by parliament. And there's a special select committee which comprises both members of the ruling party and the opposition who go through the process of scrutinizing and screening any person that is recommended to be appointed as a member of the commission by the president. And if that committee does not approve an individual to be appointed, then the president cannot appoint. He has to look for somebody else. And even if the committee approves, makes a recommendation, and it goes to the larger house, if the house does not vote in favor of that person, then the person cannot be appointed. So it is a rigorous task. A rigorous process that the members of the commission go through. Even I, as director, when I'm appointed, before I'm appointed, the commission will ask the security agents to do a thorough scrutiny check on my background to see whether whoever is appointed to be director is worthy of the position. And as far as I'm concerned, our commission is one commission that has worked very independently. We have endured pressure from the ruling party, we have endured pressure from the opposition, but we have not bowed to it, and we have no intention of bowing to it. Because as an electoral commission, once you allow yourself to be compromised either by the ruling party or the opposition, then you're done for. You're dead meat. You might as well throw in the towel, give up your job, and leave it for somebody else to do.
I see. Thank you very much, madam. We have to stop right there. I'd like to thank Priscilla Isaac, Director of the Electoral Commission of Zambia, for joining us today. Now we'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter. And we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Zambia Elect. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa, become a fan, and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
Edgar Lungu was sworn in as president on January 25th after a narrow win in an election called after the death of former President Michael Sata in October. Lungu won with just over 48% of the vote compared to nearly 47% for Hakainde Hichilema, the opposition candidate. It takes the helm for the remainder of President Sata's term. The next general election is scheduled for September 2016. Lungu has vowed to continue the policies of former president, including a contentious tax on mining.
Sia Nyama Karoma, the First Lady of Sierra Leone, speaks to VOA on the Ebola crisis.
I would want the people in West Africa to know that Ebola is real. Ebola kills. Early detection and prompt treatment can save lives. And I'm asking our people not to victimize or stigmatize survivors. Ebola is a challenge, but together we'll all be able to overcome it.
That was Sia Nyama Karoma, the First Lady of Sierra Leone, speaking to VOA Africa on the Ebola crisis.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui, and welcome back. Today we reflect on the recent Zambian presidential election and examine the ruling party's narrow win as the opposition cries foul. Our distinguished guests are Dr. Kenneth Mwenda, adjunct professor of law at American University's Washington College of Law, based here in the nation's capital. Of course, as I said earlier, it's always a pleasure having you on Straight Talk Africa, Kenneth.
Most welcome, Shaka.
You're most welcome. And Hakainde Hichilema, presidential candidate of the main opposition party, the United Party for National Development, or UPND. He joins us via telephone link up from the capital, Lusaka. Good evening, Mr. Hichilema.
Shaka, good evening, and good evening, listeners all over the world. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome, sir. I have to tell you, frankly, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
The pleasure is mine, though it's a very difficult time for us in Zambia.
Thank you very much, sir. Now, let me ask you a question immediately, if you don't mind. I know that, of course, you've been quoted as saying that you won the election. It was stolen from you by the Electoral Commission of Zambia. Where is the evidence? Because in law they say that either you have the evidence or facts on your side. If you don't have either, you settle out of court.
Shaka, the people of Zambia voted overwhelmingly for us, for myself as candidate and for the UPND across the country. Convincingly, but the election was stolen with the involvement of the Electoral Commission of Zambia, including the lady who was speaking here, who, when she was speaking, I was listening, and what she was saying is absolutely not true. And, you know, the Electoral Commission of Zambia, not the chairperson, Mandelima, who I respect a lot and is respected by many Zambians, but by basically the staff of the Electoral Commission, including the director herself, who was speaking. And she knows that very well. I have the evidence. If you allow me, I'll give you just a few examples here.
Yes, please. You have 2 minutes to give the evidence.
Yeah. Look, there are many malpractices that were basically instigated by the Electoral Commission, engineered by the lady who was speaking herself. You know, there was no transparency and accountability through from the polling station to, you know, to the constituents totaling center. Figures were changed, and figures were changed, you know, on transmission to the national totaling center. Let me give you an example of one constituency in Lusaka called the Lusaka Central. Lusaka Central, you know, totaling results certificate, which I have a copy of here, issued by the Electoral Commission of Zambia, Priscilla Isaacs. My competitor, Edgar Lungu, as evidenced by the certificate, Shaka, here, received a total of 12,899 votes in Lusaka Central constituency. I received 8,000. But in the National Totaling Center result, which was announced to the nation, Priscilla Isaacs and her staff entered a figure of 15,077 votes for Edgar Lungu, manufacturing almost an additional 3,000 votes for my competitor and depressing my results as a consequence of. And I mean, I'll give you another example. Chawama constituency in Lusaka also. My competitor got 13,000 votes, and thereabout I got 9,000 votes. And in the national totaling figure, Priscilla Isaacs and her staff, you know, recorded 18,000, an additional 5,000 votes. So in two constituencies, she stole 8,000 votes by adding Edgar Lungu's votes to 8,000. I'm talking about a copy of the constituency report, constituency, you know, if you like, you know, totaling report, which was issued by the Electoral Commission. And then here, I have before me the national total, which was recorded in the manner that I've described. So two constituencies only, the Electoral Commission of Zambia gave my competitor 8,000 votes, which he did not get, which voters did not give him. And if you do an average that you just work on 10 constituents, an average of basically 6,000 votes that were basically, if you like, close to 4,000 votes. But let's talk of a simple averaging. It means that in 10 constituencies, basically Edgar Lungu would have been given an average of 40,000 votes. This guy is supposed to have won by 1% or 27,000 votes. If you deduct 27 from 40,000, Hakainde is a winner.
I see. Now,
and we ask for every election, every constituent to be verified, and Priscilla Isaacs dilly-dally to provide the details.
Well,
Electoral Commission staff stole the election.
Well,
a wrong person was installed as a winner. Thank you.
It seems to me, of course, from what you have been able to share with me and with us, that you do have what perhaps could be characterized as empirical evidence. Given that the judicial system in your country is very highly regarded, why don't you take your case to the Zambian judiciary system so that they can make the final call?
I am not sure, Shaka, about your comment. It's common knowledge that the judiciary is compromised here, very common knowledge. In the adoption process of the PF candidate in the PF, Edgar Lungu, we are aware of rulings that were made, which were basically improper. And, you know, the challenges to Edgar Lungu within the PF in the contest for adoption were basically left unsatisfied. But also, don't forget our party in 2001 won an election. I wasn't the president then. And we went to court. It took a five-year process. And the results were actually unacceptable in the sense that there was an admission that Mr. Mazoka, my predecessor, who was UPND president, won. I mean, there were flaws, there were corruption activities involved, but the ruling was that in the end, the results must be sustained in national interest, in the interest of stability in the country.
Well,
this is not how decisions must be made.
Well,
so
when you walk back
court,
when you walk back to 2001, in fact, I can also say that I'm in a position perhaps to sort of agree with you, because I got this one on the authority of now, unfortunately, the late Frederick Chiruba, who told me personally that he had rigged then President Patrick Levi-Mwanawasa in power, in the presidency. But coming back to 2015, really, the same court that you say was very kind on Edgar Lungu, it is the same court, for example, that disqualified former Zambian president Rupia Banda, who wanted to run on the, of course, for on the MMD party. What about that?
No. The circumstances are totally different, Shaka. Completely different. I mean, this whole ruling on in a case where Edgar Lungu was allowed to file in a nomination when the contenders were not allowed to participate in the election or the choice of the presidential candidate within the PF, you know, it is a sham. And by the way, Edgar Lungu used pangas and cutters to beat out contenders, physically beating out contenders at their party's convention. So what Edgar has done is to beat out, using Priscilla Isaacs and others in the Electoral Commission, my win, to take away our win, to take away the desire of the people of Zambia to have a leadership that will answer to the economic challenges and a leadership that will turn around the economy. So, Shaka, what I've given you is just one example of the manipulation. We have cases where Priscilla Isaacs knows that in one constituency, when they could not create enough votes for Edgar Lungu, they transposed my results. I got 7,000. This is Kabompo West constituency. I scored 7,000 and Lungu scored 350. They transposed the results and gave Lungu 7,000 and gave me 350.
I see.
Took away my votes of 7,000 to Lungu, gave my Lungu's lower votes of 350 to me. We won this election hands down. Our calculation shows we won this election by over 53%, Shaka.
So
and
if you
Priscilla
did,
Isaacs and her staff stole this election for me.
So if you did win the election, how come from what we gather that the people on the ground, not only in Lusaka, the capital, but in the entire country, are so peaceful as if, in fact, Nothing happened on Sunday.
Shaka, credit must go to me. Priscilla Isaac is aware of that. That I held a press conference. People were already going in the streets. I appeal to my supporters to be calm, because I don't want to superintend over an election whenever we win over a country which is in smoke and fire. That is irresponsible.
Thank
I restrained
you.
Our supporters. But Shaka, listen to this. When Edgar Lungu was the loser, was declared the winner, the PF cadres went out beating people. Up to today, our supporters are being beaten out of the market stores. Their market stores are being looted. Those who own minibuses are not allowed to load passengers in the public bus stops, as I speak to you today.
I see.
Today I've written to the Inspector General of Police, and I've written to Edgar Lungu to actually grow up and stop the violence. I restrained my supporters. He has allowed his supporters to go in the streets and beat our people. If I allow my members tomorrow, Shaka, you'll hear that they smoke in Zambia.
Please do not do that. Please do not do that. I think you definitely have a political responsibility not to do that. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week.
Vianney Lengwe in Kasama, Zambia writes, Edgar Lungu is already demonstrating his commitment to Zambia through his uniting approach. He has appointed the first ever female vice president. Zambians are eager to see him address critical economic issues and developmental projects such as road construction, improvement of the education sector, and the construction of health centers. President Lungu needs to devise a clear roadmap which will define the best way to promote industrial investment. He also urgently needs to address issues in the mining sector through dialogue with its stakeholders.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to keep your questions brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. President Lungu will have to handle the country's billion-dollar debt. And with falling copper prices in Africa's second-largest copper-producing nation, there are quite a few challenges ahead. The International Monetary Fund says copper accounts for about 10% of the nation's gross domestic product, or GDP, and a quarter of the government's revenues. Additionally, the new mining tax has tripled royalties on open-pit mines and has further soured relations between the ruling government and mining companies. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, asking, what steps will Zambian President Edgar Lungu have to take to ensure that the country will have a bright economic future? Well, let's begin right away with a comment from Xavier Mbale in Lusaka, Zambia, who writes, I think President Lungu needs a better finance minister. Alexander Chikwanda has taken us into too much debt. He also needs to select a cabinet of professionals and embrace all regions of the country in order to utilize all the nation's potential. Most importantly, he needs to unite the country because these elections have left us more divided than ever before. people only give their best when they feel part of something. Well, another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOAZambiaElect. And if you haven't yet, please follow us at VOAShaka. And let's go to a tweet from Oscar Nkua, who writes, President Lungu needs to continue with infrastructure development. Zambia also needs maximum benefits from its copper. Well, Shaka and guest, what are your thoughts on these comments?
Thank you very much. Kenneth, first and foremost, we definitely have to give credit to where it belongs, to Hikilema.
As well as the other presidents of the losing parties.
The losing parties. And especially Hikilema, really, for having, in fact, gone out and called his supporters, appealed to them publicly to remain calm and avoid violence.
I have absolutely no doubt that Mr. Hakainde Hichilema is a man of integrity. I mean, he has, even before joining politics, he's on record as having excelled as a professional. So he has a name to protect. There's no doubt about it. And that's the beauty about it, having a leader who has integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who has a track record of where they're coming from. So I give him credit for that, absolutely. He's done well on that part.
So what does President Edgar Lungu have to do, really, in order to bring about the necessary political reconciliation?
That's a good point, Shaka. I think, in all honesty and all fairness, we've seen the press reports. I think President Lungu has to come out more strongly to try and discipline, especially his party cadres.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that within the inter-party PF ruling party, there was a lot of anarchy going around, and people were calling for him to actually discipline his cadres, and it appeared he was very weak on that front.
Mm-hmm.
So now he has the instruments of power. There should be no excuse whatsoever.
Is he a disciplined man? Because looking back, when Guy Scott was calling shots, he seemed to give him a lot of problems, frankly.
Again,
even though he was Minister of Defense and Minister of Justice.
Yeah, again,
and Secretary General of the Patriotic Front.
Perhaps I should put a footnote there. Being a lawyer, you know, you want evidence. We were reading in the press. We really don't know what could have transpired between the two factions. But going by the press reports alone, there was an indication that there was a lot of indiscipline on the Edgar Lungu camp. Acting president at that time, Dr. Guy Scott,
mm-hmm.
I think he had the right mandate. We discussed this, and my opinion, frankly speaking, was that the attorney general was right when he ruled that the acting president should take over the mantle as the vice president take over the mantle as acting president. So mm-hmm. the attorney general was right, but there was a lot of pushback from the Lungu camp.
Yes.
Into the convention and so forth. We are over that period. It's not a period of campaigning now. Edgar Lungu is the duly elected president of the Republic of Zambia, and he has to show leadership.
Doesn't he perhaps have to reach out, frankly, to the losers? Doesn't he have to be magnanimous, especially given the narrowness, frankly, of this victory? One would have thought that he would, in fact, come up with a government of national unity.
In fact, it's not only the narrowness of the victory. He's got only 18 months before he comes up again before the ballot. So if you look at it from that way, it's like a job, you're on probation. You have not been confirmed yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the confirmation is going to happen probably next year. Substantively, yes, he's the president. Legally, he's the president. But he's coming up in 18 months for another election. So this is the best time for him to consolidate himself. And one of the ways of doing that is within the ruling party to extend an olive branch.
Yes.
Even to the other camp that, you know, he was fighting when they were trying to get into power. So I would hope in the appointments that will be made by President Lungu, he will reach out to the Mao Sampa camp and appoint some people there. Because if they don't do that, the biggest weakness that PF had before the elections was their internal wrangles. And that gave the opposition, especially UPND, an advantage.
Mariama, please share some more of our audience feedback.
Hopefully you guys can address the fact that one of the viewers actually talked about bringing back some of the ministers who were already there, like the finance minister or foreign minister or other people. So maybe we can touch on that. But in the meantime, let's look at other comments. This time, We'll move on and see Evangel Yumba, who's writing to us from Lusaka again in Zambia. He says that President Lungu will need to ensure that companies pay taxes, especially multinational ones, diversify the economy so the country can get much more from agriculture, tourism, and other sectors. And let's look at another one, another comment from Mula Mushenua. Again, in Zambia, they've been very active, understandably so, since it's the country that just had presidential elections. This time, he writes, these elections were free and fair, and that's the beauty of our democracy. Shaka.
Thank you very much. Hikilema, are you there?
I'm here, Shaka.
Go for it. Go for it. What does President Lungu really have to do to reach out to you and your colleagues so that life goes on, at least for the next one year before you meet again next year in September?
Ishaka, first, it's incredible that a person who knows he lost an election and has been declared winner can be so arrogant and to start accusing us in the UPND of being, you know, bad people. Honestly speaking, I mean, look, it's unacceptable. Somebody must have humility to understand that he has a responsibility to keep the nation peaceful and away from violence. And he is instigating violence, the same violence that he instigated to, in Zambia we call it pangering his way, meaning using pangas. Mm-hmm. I'm talking of weapons, dangerous weapons he used to fight off his contenders in the PF. He's doing the same at a national level. It's unacceptable. So the first thing he must do is to stop the violence that he himself instigated publicly when he announced that he is authorizing his cadres to beat and cut the ears of UPND members and fellow citizens. How can anyone do a thing like that in leadership?
That's
the first thing he must do.
That is very unfortunate because given his roots, a man who happens to be Ngoni, who is a descendant of the great King Shaka and his people, the Zulu, he shouldn't be doing that.
I mean, that heritage may be, you know, real for now, given that the bloodline has been diluted over years. And I mean, I'm talking of hundreds of years. But there's what I call maturity and responsibility to keep the country peaceful and let alone, you know, united. He's dividing the country right now. And the other issue that he's doing, basically, he's already creating a problem where he's changing his goalposts. You know, in the campaign, he confessed that he had no vision. And the Bible is very clear. Where there's no vision, there's no leadership, the people perish. Now, when he was, you know, inaugurated as president, he committed that he would deliver the new constitution before 2016, the general election. On Monday, when he announced partially his cabinet, he U-turned on the same thing he said a day before, that there were other priorities. And he knows that the country is in trouble and divided partially because we don't have an appropriate constitution. The constitution we have is inadequate. And this guy is already walking away from commitments. By the way, everything I said during the campaign, our message, all Edgar Lungu was doing, he was copying,
like
a photocopier.
I see.
And he's already beginning to change positions one day into the office. It's unacceptable.
Well, we'll
so trust is important. You know, integrity is important in leadership.
We'll come to that later. Thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, that will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please, please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com or you can join our YouTube channel. Subscribe to VOA TV to Africa. And you can always give us a call and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa and throughout the month of February, we're collaborating with our partner, Channels TV in Lagos, Nigeria, to bring you a series of programs with complete in-depth coverage of the upcoming Nigerian presidential election. We'll discuss and dissect all the important issues. That's next week and throughout February on Straight Talk Africa.
A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. The US country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away.
Let's take a quick look at a timeline of Zambia's change of government. September 2011, Michael Sata becomes president. On March 2013, former President Rupia Banda is charged with abuse of power after being stripped of immunity. June 2014, President Sata goes to Israel on a working holiday amid rumors about his health. October 2014, President Sata dies and Vice President Guy Scott is elevated to president as Africa's first white leader since F.W. de Klerk in apartheid South Africa. November 2014, Guy Scott announces January 20th, 2015 as the date for the presidential election. According to the Constitution, Scott is unable to run because his parents were not born in Zambia. January 2015, Edgar Lungu wins the presidency, but opposition candidate Hakainde Hichilema refuses to concede defeat and accuses Zambia's Electoral Commission of manipulating the results in favor of Lungu.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook. Keywords, Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui. Let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good afternoon, Michael Tembo from Texas. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Chaka.
I am terrific, my friend. We are also in the afternoon, just like you.
Thank you very much, Chaka.
What is your question, sir?
My question and my observation is on the recent election that took place in Zambia. And I would like to appreciate the caller was commenting on the recent election. And listening from whatever has been going on, we cannot deny the fact that tribalism seems to be an issue at the moment. It is a global pandemic, and denying this fact is to deny healing. Now, the question to Professor Ken is, in the case of Zambia, who or what is curing this tribal sickness? Is it the media, the politicians, or it is the social issue that has been lying dormant over some time?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that question, Michael. The issue of tribal ethnic inclination in the voting pattern, yes, definitely. That there were two fundamental features that seem to have been driving the force of the voting pattern. One, ethnic inclination or tribal inclination. Secondly, the issue of personality mudslinging and, you know, trying to sabotage, you know, the other candidates, you know, image to the electorate and so forth. So these two factors were driving. There was less of ideology and policy articulation. Coming to the question of what is driving this factor, I think in many countries, if you look historically, it's actually the intellectuals, the intelligentsia, mm-hmm. who are the sort of opinion formers, the thought leaders, mm-hmm. who influence the masses. The masses themselves at the bottom, the peasants, sometimes don't even have those issues of discrimination. But the people they look up to, the intellectuals, they are the ones who are the main culprits. So if we have academics, professors, intellectuals who are clearly favoring a particular ethnic grouping because of their heritage, mm-hmm. you know, they are bound to bring about confusion. We saw that in Rwanda. Mm-hmm. Even priests and Catholic priests were involved in that mm-hmm. because these were the opinion formers. So mm-hmm. people look up to these people. But I do hope that looking to President Lungu now as the head of state, he has the responsibility to bring the country together. And secondly, one of the biggest failures of the PF in the preceding regime was inconsistent policies. There has to be consistent policies going forward. For example, VAT Rule 18. You have a situation where the minister, you know, pushes for amendment of, enactment or amendment of subsidiary legislation. Mm. You go back and forth. The president has to intervene and so forth. Mm. Those type of things where there's a lot of inconsistency do not signal well to the investment community. Thirdly, I think the president needs to show leadership, unlike his predecessor, avoiding making appointments which he has to backtrack, and you appoint somebody as ambassador, tomorrow you change your mind. Mm. You appoint him as permanent secretary. Make up your mind. Get yourself advisors. Your predecessors had no advisors. Get yourself advisors, a political advisor, an economic advisor, a legal advisor. Mm-hmm. SATA didn't have any of that.
Now, this issue of people voting for a messenger, right, as opposed to the message.
Right.
Or voting for someone perhaps because he belongs to your ethnic community.
Right.
Which sometimes referred to as a tribe. It is not limited by any means, frankly, to Zambia.
Not at all.
It is
not
a universal phenomenon.
Actually,
in fact, it is not limited
to Africa.
To Africa.
Yes.
Because until recently, guess what?
Yeah.
You work in Washington, D.C.
Right.
If you were not a black person,
right,
you would probably never even hope to become mayor of Washington, D.C.
Right, right.
Why? Yeah. If you were a black person by the same token and you wanted to be mayor of Arlington, Virginia, you probably wouldn't make it.
A good point, Shaka. Psychologists tell us that there's what is known as inherent bias in every human being. Mm-hmm. We need to acknowledge that. We cannot live in denial. Mm-hmm. We all have an unconscious sort of inherent bias in us. We tend to feel comfortable with people who either have common heritage or identity as we have. Mm-hmm. But we have to work consciously to move out of that mm-hmm. comfort zone, to be able to operate in a different paradigm. And the more people keep denying this thing, the more it will subsist. People have to recognize that we have a problem here. Mm. For example, look at the endorsements. You have Rupia Banda is from the East, former president. He endorses Lungu.
Yes.
You have a lot of endorsements from the Lenje people.
But they come from the same province, really, don't they?
Yes. You have a lot of endorsements like Minister Honorable Munkombwe.
Yes.
Who is a minister of a ruling party endorsing Mr. Hakainde Hichilema, and clearly coming out because it's all ethnic. So it's not just UPND, even PF. Mm. This problem was there.
Right.
I think the issue of tribal inclination and ethnic divide when it comes to the vote gained momentum the moment President Kaunda was no longer president.
Right.
We saw that when MMD came, it had a national appeal. Eventually, it had a lot of influence of the Luapula appeal because the president, Chiluba, was from Luapula. Mm-hmm. Then came Levi Mwanawasa. We had a lot of Lamba Lenje people because that's his heritage. And the first lady then, that was their background.
Yes.
Then Rupia Banda, you had a lot of Eastern people, you know, his advisors, most of the young guys around him. We're all Easterners.
Right.
You know, now we are in this generation. So we need to be honest with ourselves. We cannot pretend that this problem is not there. It's there.
It is there, and it is everywhere. I mean, when we have elections in the United States, you hear about the Hispanic vote.
Right.
The Jewish vote.
Exactly.
The black vote.
Yes, exactly.
The Irish Catholic vote.
And sometimes you don't even know why people are criticizing, you know, some good policies maybe by President Obama. It could be influenced by other factors of this nature.
Tell us, what makes Edgar Lungu tick, really? Who is Edgar Lungu, apart from being perhaps a prince who descends from the great Ngonis, who were, in fact, the Zulus?
Good question, Shaka. First of all, I would like to congratulate formally President Edgar Lungu for having won these elections. I have not met him. We are both lawyers. We are both members of the bar in Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
But Edgar Lungu, from the people that I've spoken to, is somebody who's easily approachable. He's a down-to-earth, humble man.
Mm-hmm.
That is the biggest plus he has.
Mm-hmm.
He can relate to the people, and that is what his predecessor had. Cobra, King Cobra, as he was known, Michael Sata,
yes.
was a man of the people.
Yes.
Now, if you look at the region, the politics of the region, it's not so much about professionalism or intellectualism.
Mm.
It's about populist leaders. Look at South Africa, for example. Zuma versus his predecessor. You can see the difference there, but the populist element yes. was appealing.
It was.
It's exactly the same thing that you're seeing in Zambia.
And
it's not
course,
so much about us, the intellectuals.
It didn't work for Thabo Mbeki, who was regarded to be
an intellectual
but
yeah.
aloof.
Exactly.
Let's go to Mr. Hakainde Hichilema, perhaps to really have the last word. Mr. Hichilema, first of all, frankly, what is your future? What does it look like? What, in fact, is your vision? Tell us about the vision thing that you have for Zambia, really.
Well, I mean, Shaka, the difficulty here is that we have a clear vision for Zambia. You know, we projected the clear, you know, policy choices that we're going to turn around the economy. For example, the main reason and the focal reason we're seeking public office, and anyone in Africa today who is seeking public office must attend to the economic turnaround. And our focus was to create an attractive business and investment operating environment, basically one which is credible, one which is consistent, one which is, you know, if you like, predictable. It's very, very important because our mandate, our view is to ensure that, you know, to deal with the poverty issues, to deal with unemployment, we have to support businesses, you know, to survive, not to just survive, to grow. And when they grow, we'll be able to create job opportunities, which is really is in short supply, especially for the youth, to be able to provide, you know, business opportunities for suppliers of goods and services, which triggers economic activity, very important for Africa. And in addition, to generate value that will be able to redistribute to the those that need it. And who are they? Women, some women, I must say, because some women are strong in their own right, but some women, those that live with disabilities, the children, the sick, the old. And, you know, it's important, Chaka, for Africans to understand that if you're seeking public office today, you should offer nothing other than economic turnaround to help your people. And, you know, we also need to know as Africans, we cannot redistribute poverty. We cannot share poverty. We can only share value.
I hear you.
We can only do this if we win elections. Now, if you win an election and it's taken away from you, we are inviting crisis and wars in Africa. We have enough wars. We have enough instability. What Edgar Lungu has done on the Electoral Commission is not good for Africa. It's
Thank
taking
you.
Africa backwards.
Thank you. Thank you. Are you going to run next year in September?
Well, look, we'll look into that. But the issue is that without transparency and accountability in the electoral process, from the polling station to the constituent totaling center to the national totaling center, and where a referee like Priscilla Isaacs is actually stealing votes.
Thank you.
For another candidate. It makes it very difficult. So we need
Thank
to reform
you.
The electoral process.
Thank you very much. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guest, Dr. Kenneth Mwenda, American University's Washington College of Law, based here in the nation's capital, and Hakainde Hichilema, presidential candidate of the United Party for National Development, who joined us by telephone from Lusaka, and Priscilla Isaac, director of the Electoral Commission of Zambia, who joined us earlier on today's program via telephone link up also from Lusaka. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Zambia and Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.